get this baby on the move. And let's get it started right.
I saw Redwood with a football in his hand.
That's right.
He was prowling through the streets of J-Town.
He was everywhere.
I said, hey, Redwood, what you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
He said, we're gonna take Sunbelt Conference down.
Say what? Something. Somebody that's made a transformation from a guy when we interviewed him the first time who gave you, you ask a question, you got a straight answer. That was it. There was no horsing around. There was no goofing around. And the guy's come about 360 now. Now he's throwing pies in faces. Coach Gus Malzahn, welcome to the show.
Hey, glad to be here, Gus.
And you can sit beside the dean of sports writers in Arkansas.
Yeah, I tell you what, that's a pretty big deal for me sitting beside this guy.
I can only imagine.
I mean, the knowledge, I mean, the fact, Gus, you know, Harry was writing back in the 30s covering Arkansas sports, and just amazing the breadth of knowledge that he has in the history of the sport.
They asked me, I was a guest on Pat's show the other day, because everybody's on vacation. Pat asked me to sit in 3 hours. I said, what the hell, I got nothing else to do. So he asked Olympic questions. And the very first question began like this. In the 1896 Olympics, and I'm like, hang on just a second. I got to call Harry King.
Oh, he knows now. He's got an impressive golf game, too, now.
Yes, he does.
I wouldn't play him for money. I can tell you that.
Well, let's talk real quick about golf. Did Ernie win or the other guy fold?
A little combination.
Yeah.
Coach might be able to tell you, when you get a little nervous, things go to the left. And he hit it left on 17, he hit it left on 18, he putted it left 3 out of the last 4 times.
But Ernie hung around.
Absolutely. And hit a great tee shot on 18 when a lot of people wouldn't drive it up there. He knocked.
Did you get to watch any of it, Gus?
Watched a little bit of it.
Yeah.
We had a camp and we had recruits in, but I was kind of slipping in and out. And
yeah.
I'm a big, you know, professional golf fan. So.
You follow him? Who's your man? Who's your guy?
Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Of course.
He's my guy.
Sure. Well, the thing of it is, Harry, and it was proven last week, even if Tiger blows it, chokes, whatever, as long as he's in it, the final round of every golf tournament for the past 12 golf tournaments, the ratings have at least doubled. They like watching the train wreck, or they watch it. For whatever reason, he's still
he
a magnet.
He polarizes people.
Yeah.
One way or the other.
It's just like when we have Tiger bait on. He pisses half the people off. He's like J.R. Ewing.
Same thing.
Yeah, you watch him to hate him.
This guy is not bad, and I still argue this. I know he's won 3 times, but he's measured by different standards than anybody else, and a standard he established.
Yeah.
That's the problem. But he is not the same guy. When he's got pitching wedge in his hand, he can't get within 30 or 40 feet of the hole. It's a different deal. That's just not right.
Well, we got the head Red Wolf in town. What are you doing?
Well, just I'm speaking at a clinic for coaches and doctors around noon, and just came in for a morning show, and I really appreciate you guys having me.
We're tickled to death. I heard Sully say you were going to be on, so I called Basil immediately. I said, give me his number. I'll call him.
Yeah.
So he'll come up. We love having him on the show.
Are you? It's not even close. What you've done since you were hired, there's probably been no other coach in the history of Arkansas college football that has got out and hustled more. Now, I know Arkansas occasionally does the Winnebago tour and all that, but I don't know if we've seen anybody do that. And I got to think that, aren't you about ready to go, you know, this is what I got to do, but I'm ready just to coach football. And
tell you what, Dave, there's no doubt. I'm ready to talk little X's and O's. I mean, it's been fun. You know, we're trying to make this more of a statewide program and give everybody ownership, but I'm ready to get on that field.
Well, it's about time. About time to slap them pads on in that 108-degree heat.
Well, yeah, when do you start? When's actually the first day of, like, incoming freshmen?
They report August 1st, and we'll have our first practice on August 2nd.
See, I'm just telling you, I've told these guys is that when August gets here, it's over. Summer's over for me.
Yes, it is.
And if you're a football coach all your life or a player, it's the same way. You don't have August for the for summer.
It doesn't keep me from playing golf, I can assure you.
Oh, I'm sure you get to do your
I was going to ask you, Harry, is 106 too hot to play golf?
It's dry heat. Come on.
God.
Come on.
I've been trying to determine when I do my walk every day. I walk 2 miles and so yesterday. I was like, as soon as I get off the air, I'm jetting home. I'm not even going to change clothes. I'm going to walk. And I got about two-thirds of the way through, and it was like, the first third's like, this isn't bad.
Uh-huh.
Second third, I was like, I'm starting to sweat. That last third, I was like, you stupid idiot. The TV people are telling you, stay out of the heat between 10 and 2, and it's 11 o'clock, and where are you, and what the hell are you doing?
I was out, too. Same time. I'm walking.
Were you?
Yeah.
It was pretty warm.
It was pretty stupid.
Yeah. It was pretty stupid. Now, you got to deal with the heat with the football practice, and it's exorbitant this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, strategically, you know, we'll start out early. We'll practice late. Our first game's at 9:30 Central Time, so that's going to give us a good excuse to practice late, which will be very good.
Yeah, and you go on the road and pull the biggest upset of the century.
Well, I tell you what, if we can pull it off, it probably will be. They're a great team. They got a lot of people coming back, and of course, they'll be one
Oregon,
of the teams.
Yeah,
they'll be one of the teams to pick to win the whole thing.
Did
Absolutely.
You? Did were you? You know, I think most people who initially saw the move for Michael Dyer to Arkansas State said, odds are he's not going to get to play this year. I know you had still had the expectation that maybe that could happen. Does that change anything for the fall, what you're planning to do, a level of disappointment?
Yeah, you know, we were really, really hoping that, you know, he'd be eligible. We thought we had a, you know, a really good case to get him close back to his family, support system, but they denied it, so we're going to make the best of it. You know, we sat down with Mike last week, and he had the option to enter the draft.
Yeah.
And so that was really his two options. I know there was rumors about him going to 1AA or something like that. There was no truth to that. So,
in your gut, will he play for ASU next year?
Oh, there's no doubt.
All right.
There's no doubt. I mean,
well,
he's committed
to
it.
You've got to get the kid from Tennessee, the transfer. He was one of the best in the nation, too, when he was coming out of high school, right?
Yeah, David Okwu was the number one all-purpose back in the country 3 years ago. So he'll be immediately eligible. But, you know, I just sat down with Mike and said, hey, man, what is best for you? Let's talk about your options. And really, it was all him. He said, hey, I want to grow as a person. He said, I'm not mature enough to take that next step. So he really said some things that really shows me that he's really growing. And, he'll be on the field.
You got to ask me, too, as a new coach, you know, you've got a lot of challenges. But what about the new coach at Penn State? Could you imagine being in his shoes today and what he has to deal with?
And seat is not hot.
Yeah, that's a tough deal. You know, Ted Roof was our defense coordinator at Auburn with me the last 3 years. He's there. Bartley Webb. You know, played for me at Springdale. He's a GA there.
Is he really? You know, you don't even think. You know, Tommy, you were talking about yesterday about the peripherals of things like that that happen. Here's a kid. These people are going up there to coach their careers, not just the head coach, the GAs and all that, and it just completely changes the dynamic of that whole situation up there.
Yeah, you know, it's real unfortunate. And this college football, you know, I've been in for 6 years, and the players are the ones that really pay a price for these.
And it's always the players that had nothing to do with – they weren't even around when McCreary threw his last touchdown pass, and he got credit for – some of these players weren't even born yet.
Yeah. I wonder about the legacy players whose grandfather played there and their father played there, and they've been there. You're going to
the Matt Millens of the world. They talked about the percentage of graduates of Penn State and what they go on to do, and it's way above everybody else or equal to everybody else. But the actions of four or five guys. However, you can't get me to believe that there weren't more people that knew about it.
The $60 million is a big deal. Yeah. Bigger than the scholarships.
You think it's bigger than the scholarships?
Bigger than the USC's back from the scholarship. USC might win the national championship this year, 2 years removed from that.
I think it was on a downward curve anyway.
I agree with that.
You know? I think in Southern Cal, you've got more resources to recruit with. You got
even Ohio State loses 9, I think.
And they're right back in the talk.
And next year, they'll be a contender for the Big Ten. I promise you, they will be.
The only thing you got to look at is, you know, when you can't go to a bowl, it's tough to recruit.
For 4 years.
Yeah, for 4 years, not one or two. So, you know,
What's the story on Gus Malzahn? What's Harry Keene, the writer? What's your thoughts initial when you're looking at him for this year?
I'm telling you, he's doing a better job promoting than anybody I can remember.
But that ends, so also we go to the field. So what are the expectations from the media?
I hope they're not unrealistic. His schedule is not exactly conducive to another
10-win
season.
Nebraska, Oregon, the first three games?
I mean, I think you, and I say this in front of him, I think you win 8 games. That's a good, solid season. A step in the right direction, that kind of thing.
Pick to finish second in the Sun Belt by what, Florida?
I'm not sure. I'm not conceding second. You know, I'm not going to say that he can't finish
first. You got a lot of gaps, a lot of holes to fill on defense, right?
Yeah, we sure do. I mean, we're really starting over on the defensive side, and that's really the scary part. But we got some really talented young kids.
And the quarterback's a really good
great
player.
Great quarterback. Got John Thompson, really coaching the defense, which if you're going to have a spotty defense or new guys, that's a great coach to get in there and do it. You know?
Yeah, he's a real aggressive guy, really compliments our offense. And so, you know, he's a good person.
And it's actually the same kind of – it should be the same kind of defense. You know, he and Dave Womack coached together for many, many years, so I think there'd be some similarities, right?
There's a lot of carryover. Our players have already said it. And so, you know, that's a really good transition.
Anything surprise you having done this media tour and on the road, on the bus, Gus bus, all this stuff that maybe surprised you that you didn't expect?
Yeah, you know, I've been gone, I guess, for 5 years from the state. So, you know, I was kind of curious what kind of response I'd get around the state. And that's been the most positive thing for me. I mean, it's just been really overwhelming at times. You can really sense that, you know, even Razorback fans, they're really rooting for us. And I think they feel like we're, you know, we're trying hard and we got a bright future. So that's been the fun part.
Now, the fun part for me is, and I'll wait to do this when you're gone, because as every day goes by, I'm just convinced this is a match made in heaven at War Memorial, $100 a pop, blah, 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 blah. And I am a Razorback fan. I used to be 80%, 20%. Now I'm more like 60, 40. But being a Razorback fan all my life, I'm a Razorback fan. And I will take on any Razorback caller that wants to call in and argue to and fro as to why and why not. The reason I say that is because I heard an argument on your buddy's show the other day, Mattingly. Guy called in and said, I just don't think they're being fair way they're promoting Arkansas State. And Bo asked him, what do you mean? Well, they're putting up billboards. Razorbacks don't put up billboards. And I'm like, Bo, let him have it. Just unload on him. And it's like volleyball. Come on, kill him now.
It's a spike shot.
Yeah, it's a spike shot. But yeah. Bo's in the backyard at Fayetteville, and he's got to watch what he says up there, and I understand that. But I'm sitting there going, these are like yellow dog Democrats to me. They're like people that will vote Democrat all their life because their grandfather did and their grandfather did. They're not going to look any other way. And if there's some excitement going on in northeastern Arkansas, and you can get northwestern Arkansas against northeastern Arkansas for one game a year, it's gold, baby. It is gold. You'll sell T-shirts. You'll sell this. You'll sell that. But it's just not going to happen, so I won't ask you about that.
Well, I will tell you, as long as Arkansas plays Louisiana Monroe, you cannot argue against
on the Plain. Road.
You cannot argue against the Plain Arkansas
as the
State.
Visitor
there's
in
nothing
that game.
Legitimate. I mean, as long as they're playing one of those teams.
When you let the Louisiana Tech or whoever it was come into Little
Louisiana
Rock
Monroe.
And make it a home
that's
game
right.
for them,
so they can get
what
attendance.
Are you doing? And I have said, and I'll say it again, and I'm a Razorback fan, it's got to the point now because of him and various other things that have happened with the Petrino thing and this and that and the other. I really and truly think there's an element of fear at Fayetteville. Like, we don't want to play them. We got nothing to gain now. We really got a lot to lose. And it may be the case.
Well, and what's going to happen here in 2014 when they start really emphasizing strength of schedule, I wonder what Arkansas is going to do then.
Are they as long as he does good, they're going to have that's going to have to be a viable option. Let me run some things by you guys today. Who's better this year, Alabama or LSU?
It all depends on Zach Mettenberger.
The only person that I've seen on ESPN more than Malzahn is Les Miles. Golly, and that is golden.
He's
promotion.
A media favorite. He's a media favorite, which is
well,
hey,
because you never know what he's.
He's created that. That's right.
Yeah, I mean, he's in their little promos. He's in the promo for College Football 13.
The whole thing swings on LSU's quarterback. But if he's really,
they're
going
to be great anyway. But
yes,
that's the difference.
If
yeah,
he's what
he's scary
what
great.
He's supposed
yeah.
to be.
That could be scary
they
great.
Win.
Yeah.
Yes.
They say Gus.
You know what? I think they're both very good. And very
different.
I'm glad I'm not playing their defenses this year. How about that?
Yeah, that's a good. And McCarron is better than a caretaker at Alabama, by the way.
Oh, I think he's going to surprise people, yeah, and I think the guy at South Carolina is going to surprise
people. I
agree. Which Manning will win more games this year, Peyton or Eli?
Probably Eli. I'm a bigger fan of Peyton, but probably Eli.
What do you say, Gus?
Yeah, I think Eli.
Okay.
More help, yeah.
Will Tiger win another major?
Not this year. There's only one left.
Well, he's not going to win that.
No, not because he can't hit his driver on the golf course.
What do you think, Gus?
Yeah, there's no doubt. He's probably going to win a couple more.
Is 106 degrees too hot to golf?
I've already answered that.
I know you.
If you're playing really good, yeah. It's not too hot.
That's right. See?
Well, see,
you.
I don't have to worry about that. Tim Tebow or Jeremy Lin, who will have the better professional career?
I'm a big fan of Tebow. I thought Lin was kind of a fluky thing, but I'm a big fan of Tebow.
So you're going to go Tebow?
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, Tebow's a very talented player. And, you know, Lin, I mean, his verdict's still out.
Skeptics.
I when he and I agree on something, doesn't that scare you?
That's just the whole thought of a little bitty Asian fella out there amongst all these Giants.
Yeah, I still think that was kind of a spike kind of thing.
Tyler Wilson, the best quarterback to ever play at Arkansas.
Ever is a long time. Goes back to Bill Montgomery in those days.
Yep.
Yeah. I thought Montgomery was really, really good.
He never made the pros, though.
I don't care about the pros.
There's no need to talk down to me. I'm an old man.
I don't care if they never make the pros. Tyler Wilson's going to make the NFL. Okay. So what?
What do you think, Gus?
Well, I mean, Joe Ferguson was a great one, too.
There you go.
But Tyler Wilson, he's got to be in that conversation.
I would say he's the toughest one ever.
I tell you what. Yeah, I'm a big Tyler Wilson fan.
For good reason.
Over or under, Nile Davis will get $1,300 yards this year.
I'll go under that.
What do you have? What do you have? 1,100 at the 2 years ago. 1,200.
Yeah, it's 12 something, wasn't it? Maybe even 13. But I just think Tyler Wilson will throw it enough that he won't get enough carries.
Coach,
you know what? I really don't have enough information to know about their offensive line and all that. But that's a lot of yards in the SEC.
It is a lot of yards in that league.
Over or under, ASU wins 8 games this year.
Should I let him
That's for you. I'm not a predictor. I mean, we have high goals.
What's your goal? What's your goal? What's your realistic goal?
Well, really, I mean, it's kind of coach speak, but it's true this first year.
You want to win all of them, but.
Yeah, no, we want to play the best we can. And, you know, there's a lot of questions.
Come on.
I mean, I don't know what to expect of our defense, to be honest with you. We got an offensive line. We have to replace 3 guys up front. We got a quarterback, and we got 3 NFL-type receivers. So,
all right.
You know.
Come on. 8.
Well, I tell you this. I mean, our goal is to go to a bowl game.
I'll tell you another thing. Well, you win a national title. I don't think that the bonus they give you is enough. I think that's too low.
You got jobbed on that. You got jobbed on that.
Yeah. And, of course, the question, too, Roger's been waiting to ask, have you got his box tickets ready?
Well, you know what?
Coach?
We're working on that.
He's got the box.
You know what? That's coach speak again.
Over or under, ASU will throw for over 3,500 yards this year.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is, but we'll need to. I mean, I'm hoping it's over.
Who will win more games this year, Missouri or A&M?
Missouri.
You think?
Yes. Yeah, I really do.
You know what? I like that coach from A&M. I like Simlin. There's something about him. It sounds like he's done
a pretty
good job.
They're starting over at quarterback and all that. And Missouri's quarterback is a good player. He really is.
Yeah.
And Pinkel's won a lot of ball games up there. He's not just some clown off the street.
And they've got two offensive linemen that are first round draft choices. So they've got a couple good players in the line. So
I'd take A&M. If I was going to play in the SEC, I'd rather play in the East.
Yeah, I think say which one's in the West. That was my question.
A&M's in the West.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah,
I love Spurrier's comment about the scheduling. He's like, "Hey, if I had anything to do about the scheduling, we wouldn't be we'd be playing Ole Miss and Auburn would be playing playing LSU." That is a quirk right there.
Yeah, it is. They're going to get all that worked out, I hope.
The other stuff is silly stuff.
I want to ask you real quick too. Of all you've been here in Arkansas many years, you've got a great story. What is as a high school coach to college? What are the best, maybe the top 2 football high school players you've ever either seen or coached?
Wow. I've been fortunate enough to coach some really good ones. I mean, Damien Williams, as far as coaching, has to be, you know, the most talented.
Really?
Yeah.
Now with the Titans. Wow, that's something of all. And you also coached, just went blank on the quarterbacks.
Yeah, Mitch Mustang.
Was obviously had a better high school career than he did college. Yeah. Do you remember as a high school player or coach – either seeing, you know, or coaching against other players that really just you went, wow?
You know, when I was the Parkview group, you know, back in 84. I mean,
Jackson. Wow, that was a great team.
Yeah,
Ricky
you
Williams.
Know about those.
Yeah,
we
were loaded up.
I mean, that team was one of the best. And then, of course, Little Rock Central, 04, their defense. Wow.
Did you ever see Basile Shabazz at Pine Bluff?
Sure did. Yeah, he's one of those
Who
guys.
Who was better, Harry, him or Jerry Eckwood?
Shabazz is really something.
I thought
Eckwood was a man among boys when he was playing, but he was 19 already, I think, and all that.
And I think that's where you do determine that the greatest of all time is when they completely make everybody else look like
another
junior high school.
The
Herschel Walkers, the Bo Jackson, when they step on the field, they're men among boys. And I think Shabazz was like that. Probably Cam Newton was probably like that as a player, too.
Who's the best quarterback Arkansas has ever produced? Mustang, then followed by Wilson?
High school?
Yeah. I don't know how.
Gus, what about?
You know, that's a tough one for me to answer.
We throw hard balls.
Yeah, you sure do. I mean, you know, you're talking about Tyler Wilson's one of the best quarterbacks in America right now.
And tough. You know. Well, coming out of high school, he won 2 state championships. Is that right?
Yeah, and he was committed to me at Tulsa for 9 months.
That's right. And then Petrino came in there and got
Petrino
him away.
Petrino came in probably the last couple weeks. And, you know, it was one of those deals of, hey, man, I get it. You're an Arkansas kid and all that. And I've been rooting for him ever since. But Mitch Mustang, when he was on, I mean, he was by the most accurate quarterback.
He had dominant numbers.
And he wasn't going to because he was too highly talented and he was too good. But if he could have sat 1 year behind anybody and just seen the field up and down of this little thing, that little thing that he didn't see in high school, and he didn't get put in for one series and pulled every
game. Yeah, I wonder if the drama had not been there that first year, maybe if the story would have been
I know it would have. Yeah, I think it would have been for
just
sure.
Just reading defenses, I mean, he was machine-like. You know, if he was an offense that he felt comfortable with, I mean, it's
Gus, I will tell you another guy, if he was 5 inches taller, everybody in the country would be talking, man, that's Freddie Knight and the guy who just is completely – I know how many – what numbers he had at PA, and I know it wasn't the highest classification of football in Arkansas, but the kid could do it all, run, throw, everything.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I think if he was 2 inches taller. I mean,
or 2 inches taller.
You know, I was recruiting him at Auburn, and it was probably one of those deals I was going to take him at Auburn, and, you know, we think he's a phenomenal player. I mean, he can – I said he's a Denard Robinson that can throw. I mean, I really feel like he's got a chance to really be special.
And you talk about the recruiting deal. You know, I remember you telling me that Hunter Henry was a kid that you were really impressed with. And that's one of the things, you're going head-to-head. You're trying to get the same kids that Arkansas is trying to get. You're not shying away from any of those
guys. I was the first to offer him.
I tell you what, I could go 60-40 ASU if you bring me a shirt.
I'll bring you a shirt. You're easy, aren't you?
Oh, come on. That's a good-looking shirt. Ask Shields out at ULR.
Demand a warm-up suit. Don't go for just
that's a good-looking shirt, Eric.
I remember the year that Clayton Delaney died. They said for the last 2 weeks that he suffered and cried.
Look at Harry go.
Strumming that, isn't he?
It made a big impression on me. Although I was a barefoot kid, they said he got religion at the end, and I'm glad.
All right, Gus Malzahn's growing up. He's 14 years old. What's he listening to?
Boy, 14, that's probably the Cars.
The Cars?
Yeah.
Very good. Very, very good. Very good answer.
Coach, got a couple of people that have emailed us or for live fan feedback. You were not in Clinton yesterday.
Asked him that three times.
No. I didn't ask him on the air.
With Jonesboro and came to Little Rock late last night.
Okay, and I got to ask you. Now, you're in Jonesboro now. How do you like Jonesboro? And how do you tell a recruit? How are you selling Jonesboro? I don't know if I've asked you that before.
Sure. You know, the first thing is I really like living in Jonesboro. And this summer, when things have slowed down, I've actually been out around the town. It's a really nice place. It's a safe place. It's got great churches and a lot of good restaurants too. So it's very college friendly.
All right, because I mentioned it on there. You mentioned restaurants. I noticed you look like you're happier. You look like you bulked up a little bit. You know, since you're eating a little bit more now.
Bulked up was not the word you used, Gus.
What did I say?
That is not the word.
Coach,
he said, gut it up.
I did not. I said, looks like Coach got a little thicker now because he's happy. No, he's got a little bit.
I'm on Roger's side. He said thicker.
I need something
to motivate me to get in shape.
Well, no.
You gained like 5 pounds or something?
Yeah. It's just,
well, I don't want to freak you out.
Chest is sinking,
it's
you know,
it's tough. You're always on the go, man. I did want to ask, too, real quick. I know you got to go other meetings. Any rule changes for the NCAA that will affect the game,
like
you
the
think?
Kickoff?
Yeah, the kickoff is a factor.
So what's the rule on that again?
Well, kicking off from the 35, and if it goes in the end zone, the ball's in the 25. So strategically, you're probably going to see a lot of sky kicks and positional kicks.
And that's just to get more returns, right?
Yeah. You know, unless you want to give it to them, the 25. But the one that concerns me is when the helmet comes off this year.
Yeah. So what's the rule on
that? Helmet comes off, somebody.
You come out for a play.
You got to come out or it's 15 yards, right?
Let's say your quarterback, he gets hit, his helmet comes off. He's got to come out of play. So
why is that?
They just felt like there was too many helmets coming off. You know, you watch games and it seems like the same guy loses helmet.
Well, is it supposed to be a penalty for the guy who his helmet happens to come off because you don't have it chin strapped?
I think it's just a safety issue. Yep. They're trying to motivate coaches and players to buckle up.
I think LSU holds the record for that.
But didn't you say the kickoff? They're trying to get more kickoff returns.
Well, it's a safety issue too. Now, I mean, there's some great collisions.
But it sounds like they're trying to encourage more. If you're
the safety thing is what drove that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're thinking by kickoff, you think they're going to be more fair kickoffs?
No, I think they'll strategically kick it high, you know, inside the 5 or 10, instead of kicking out of the end zone.
And make them, the end zone. But that's my point. It's going to cause more returns, is it not, if you're not kicking out of the end zone? So that's going to be more collisions.
Well, they talked about the 5 yards.
Yeah, you don't get it up that head of steam or whatever.
That difference. I mean, there's some great collisions in college football on that kickoff
day. I predict there will not be a penalty imposed for the helmet thing. And do you know how many times excessive celebration was called in the NCAA last year?
Let me guess. Not many.
One.
They've cut down on it. They've cut down on it.
As a coach, you got to really emphasize that, too. Hand the ball to the referee. Come to the sideline. Yeah. Do all your celebrating.
If you had to have ASU's atmosphere for a game be like any that you've coached at as a coach, which one would you say, boy, I'd like to have an atmosphere like that? It's an unbelievable atmosphere.
Auburn can't be bad.
Yeah, I tell you what, Auburn is, you know, when you that Iron Bowl, it doesn't get any better than that. Now, LSU's a great place to play,
too. Right, you're standing on a sideline at the Iron Bowl.
Yeah.
You're standing on the sideline at the number one rivalry in all of college football. You got that stupid eagle flying around, flying right back to it. I still don't know how they do that. I don't know how they do that. But they got a chip behind its ear or something.
No, it's got a little morsel that encourages.
And it's I liked it better when it was in Birmingham. I went one time when it was Birmingham, and it was cut right down the middle. It was kind of like Arkansas and Kansas State in the Cotton Bowl. Did you just take a moment to stand back and go, I can't believe I'm here?
Yeah, you know, Tommy, that's hit me a lot of times, really, in pregame, you know, when you take in the moment, but you got to flip the switch.
Yeah.
And, you know, once a game starts, it's just like you're coaching at Shiloh Christian. I mean, you know, you're in the moment with the game. But, yeah, there's a couple times that you just go, wow, Lord's really blessed me.
I guess you, too, we've talked about the interaction between coaches and referees during a game. You know, baseball, you have a lot of that. Football, you never see a coach thrown out like you have baseball. Does Gus Malzahn – do you chew on the referees during the game? Is that part of your deal or no?
Well, you know, I just try to strategically, you know, pick when you you never want to try to make them look bad, but you got to stand up. There's a couple times you got to stand up for your players and for your team.
They say that I heard that an official will not penalize a coach unless he looks at him after, say, you say blah, 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 blah. Yeah. He'll look at you and say, what'd you say? And if you repeat it, you're gone.
Yeah, there's something to that. But, you know, hey, and this is in all seriousness, most officials do just as good a job as the coaches.
Yeah.
You know, so if I start, you know, you got to keep that in mind, too. They do a great job, especially in the SEC.
That would be funny if you questioned a call and the official came back, what about you in second and second?
Hey, if they were just as critical coaches, it would be interesting. Well,
and also, Gus is such a nice guy. You know, it's hard to imagine you losing your temper, getting mad at players, but that is something that you have to do as part of being a head coach or assistant coach.
Yeah, you got to keep your emotions. You know, my biggest challenge, you know, is getting out on the field. I mean, I'll catch myself out at the bottom of the numbers, and of course, in the SEC, you know, those officials, hey, Gus, help us out this week. Please stay off the field, you know. So.
But you're more positive reinforcement guy with your players than you are a beat down.
It just depends. I think every player is different. And some of them, you don't want to jump on too hard. And then others, you got to get all over. So it just depends.
They responded.
Sure.
Yeah. Just like everything else.
Well, I think you've done an outstanding job of winning a hardcore Razorback fan like me over to the point now I'm like, come on, let's do it. Let's do it. And I think that you've even got the other side, that 10-15% that never wants to play ASU, you've got them thinking now. And that's not in your mind, and even if it is, you can't talk about it, you can't address it, but I can. And it's just, as a Razorback football fan, I'm just like, come on, let's do this. That would be so great to have that stadium filled with red and black and red and white and let them go at it.
And the rivalry all year long, the trash talking that would go on all year long would just be fantastic.
Because you know, they talk about Alabama and Auburn, the guy poisoning the tree, da-da-da-da-da. But when the tornado hit, they all came together as one.
And some will say that, you know, ASU needs to step up and show that they deserve to be in that game, although not some of these other teams we play don't do it, like Jacksonville State and all that. Yeah. You're playing the Oregons and the Nebraskas, which are going to be tough, but you won a conference championship last year. If you guys could be successful over the next few years and all of a sudden, like, your goal is to be a top 20 team, top 15 team.
That would be outstanding.
I think it'd be great for the state high school football.
It would
be huge. Look at the state of Alabama. Look at the state of Florida. I know we have less Division I talent, but I'm telling you, it would raise the bar on that number of players. I think that you see go Division I.
Yeah, I think you said. The bottom line is we got to win consistently. Yeah, you know, we've had one winning season in the last 12 years. So that's our challenge.
That's
this first year will be pretty interesting. But if we could fast forward a year or two,
I like the choice of words. It's going to be pretty interesting.
Sure.
If we could,
sure.
In other words, it could be a struggle this year just because of some of the losses from last year. So.
Well, you're a Razorback fan as well. Yeah. I mean, you grew up in the state.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, and I am. Now, granted, my daughter going to ASU has helped me watch them a little bit more, and last season has made it even more interesting for a lot of people. I want you to win. I mean, I do. I want to root for something else.
It's still an amazing. It's still, you think about it, Gus. Again, remember, you've been a walk-on at U of A. Your journey is still a remarkable journey to go. And another Harry, one of his good buddies is the guy, is offensive coordinator at Clemson, who also was a high school coach in Texas 3 years ago. Was it 3 years ago, Gus?
It was. Yeah, 3 years ago.
3 years ago. Now he's the highest paid offensive coordinator in America at Clemson. You know, just amazing how, and you and him are obviously unique in the storyline of how you got from point A to obviously point Z. But a great story nonetheless.
There's no doubt. I mean, like I've said before, the Lord's really blessed me. I've been put in the right situation, the right time and time again. Coach Cam Newton, Darren McFadden, Felix Jones. I mean, I've been real blessed.
Yeah, just Cam Newton and Darren McFadden.
Yeah.
Yeah. The guy at Clemson might have the best receiver in the country, by the way.
Really?
No, he has the best receiver in the country.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Where Clemson?
I'll second. Yeah, I saw
that
him
guy
firsthand.
He's unbelievable.
Sammy Watkins.
I think Southern Cal's got some good ones, too.
Yeah. Who does?
Yeah,
Southern Cal's got two.
He's a good player, but I'm telling you, White is most.
And you say Gus believes this guy should be or could be a Broyles Award finalist. The guy in Clemson's pretty good.
I mean, you're talking Chad Morris. You know, I think they were his first year at Tulsa. They were number five in the country. This past year, they were in the top 10.
At Clemson.
He's the highest paid offense coordinator in college football. So he'll be right in the mix. Of course, I'm rooting for him.
It appears to me that the biggest stories in college football and college sports period now are things that happen off the field.
Yeah.
The Petrino thing, the Paterno thing. It's always something off the field that's the big story. And to me, that's kind of a shame.
Yeah,
but part of that's the timing too. Petrino and at that time of year.
Well, but don't you think though too? I think when you elevate something to the level that we elevate people,
worship
and
people.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And so things they do away from the field become important to us, or notable as well.
Love
even
to build
if they're
them
bad.
Up and love
but,
them.
Yeah, that's
down.
Right.
But come September 1, college football comes to the forefront, and all that other stuff goes away for a while.
Hopefully, it will.
It will.
Hopefully it will.
So can you mention before you go? I know you got to go here in a sec. Where will we be seeing a lot of ASU in Central Arkansas? Can you announce where and how and all that kind of stuff?
We're still working on that. Okay. I mean, we're committed to having a game here in Little Rock. That has to happen. And we're working on schedules now. And so
what about media? Can you mention that yet about maybe so where folks will be able to see or hear? Or
are we going to see the Gus Malzahn show?
We are going to have a statewide coaches show.
All right.
Matter of fact, we're meeting today on that. So we're getting
– can't say that yet.
Yeah, I can't say that quite yet.
That's fine.
Probably in the next week we'll be able to really formally, be a little more
– Let me suggest as your one of your acts in the show, Roger Scott.
Yeah, I'll be in there, Coach. I can do that. I can make balloon animals as long as – They all look like snakes, though. Just let it go.
Yeah, that might motivate us to get him that box.
There you go. Definitely do that. Are you going to be a speaker? Or have you
He's speaking at the Touchdown Club
good,
this year. Yeah,
good.
Yeah.
It'll be like the Golden Corral commercials that Ninja does. And don't forget, on the Gus Malzahn, we got Balloon Man.
Right. Roger Scott making balloon animals. Look, it's a rabbit, but it looks like a snake.
Well, can you make is your coach's show going to be exciting and different and unique?
Yeah, we're going to try to.
Hey, you were doing stuff up there this morning.
Yeah, we're going to do a little more behind the scenes, diagram plays, try to make it, more fan friendly.
Gotcha.
Well, we're looking forward to it. I mean, wish you the very best of luck. Really do, Coach.
Yeah, that's right. We probably will not see you again until the season starts. So you're more than welcome to call us whenever.
The door's always wide open. And if you don't get a morning call-in show, I'm sure we could work out a deal here and make you a little change, get me a free shirt, get Roger some new balloons.
I'm going to get your shirt.
Plugging that shirt, isn't it?
That's a great-looking shirt. That's a great-looking shirt. And don't let what I said about the eating thing – stop you for that.
Motivated.
Well, that's just what a good
Roger.
He's a good-looking man.
Gosh,
you don't want him.
Well, you didn't have to bring it up again.
Well, I'm just letting him know that I'm in no. Listen, I'm holding my winter weight too, Coach.
Yeah, Christy, my wife, she's laughing. Listen to this. I'll tell you that.
We want to wish you the best, and as I said, the door is always wide open to you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks, Coach.
We'll leave Gus Malzahn with some cars. Back in a moment.